That's a gift from Rabbul Alameen for the fasting of
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he says لا تجعلوا قبري عيدا وصلوا علي فإن صلاتكم تبلغني حيث كنتم The Prophet of mankind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he says that do not make my grave a place of celebration. What this means, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that the way Eid comes twice in a year. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, don't come to my grave twice a year. Come repeatedly. Come again and again and again. وَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ Now if a person, if he cannot, he doesn't have the health, or he doesn't have the wealth, he doesn't have the finance to take him to the golden gates of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's the solution? What's the remedy for him? The Prophet ﷺ says, وَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ That read through upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي حَيْثُ كُنْتُمْ Because your durood, wherever you are in the world, in the east or in the west, your durood, your recitation of salutation upon me, reaches me, no matter where you read that salutation from. Wherever you read that durood sharif from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he hears that and he says, "Haythu kuntum," and unrestrictedly, no matter where you are. So on this blessed occasion of Eid, it was a ritual of our grand saints of Islam that they would invoke the recitation of durood sharif upon this blessed day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily, this blessed month that has just passed us, a month of great virtues and blessings, a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the glorious Quran upon His blessed Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of mankind, the final of all prophets, this blessed and noble book was sent upon him. In a very special night, Laylatul Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of this one night, has blessed the entire month. And He has specifically stated in the Quran the blessings of this month. And then has ordered all Muslims to fast in this month. And the entire reason was, or the outcome of the month of Ramadan was, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you become God-fearing, you become God-conscious. Now in this month, this blessed month, Alhamdulillah, Muslims all over the world, in all corners of the world, elders, youngsters, men, women, the working class people, the non-working class people, even those who are suffering from poverty, who are suffering hardships, all over the world, they observed the Siyam of Ramadan. They fasted in the month of Ramadan. They performed Sahri, the blessed Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Every morning they would fulfill the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, where they would wake up and have some sort of nourishment in the morning and close their fast, and they would invoke a certain supplication upon closing, or an intention of closing the fast in the morning. And then brothers and sisters around the world, Muslims, would perform wuzu and get ready for Salatul Fajr. Men would perform this salah with jama'at. after Salah, they would invoke certain supplications, perform du'as. Some brothers would read the Quran after Fajr Salah. You had a certain schedule throughout the month of Ramadan. Brothers would read the Quran and they would try to finish the entire Quran in this 1 month. Once, whilst alone, whilst they are without the Imam, and once in Taraweeh, which is a beautiful action to do. Brothers around the world would perform the Salat al-Duha or Jasht and Ishraq in the certain given times. We would get up and go to work without any sort of nourishment, without any breakfast, without any tea or coffee, which in itself was a big or a very hard task to perform. So we would work without any nourishment, which was a challenge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doubled our reward for, gaining that halal rizq whilst in the state of fasting. We kept our gaze lowered in the month of Ramadan. Our gaze was lowered. We purified our mind, our eyes, our hearts from all types of impurities and filth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this month, shaitan is tied up. And it makes it easier for the Muslims to perform good acts. And now what's left in this month is just you, and it's a fight against you and your nafs, no shaitan. Shaitan is removed from the equation. Now if there's any badness left within you, it's because of you and your nafs. This month was a time for you to focus upon yourself, for a time for you to nurture your internal desires, to see who you really are, to see how you really are when shaitan is out of the equation. And this month makes you realize that, is it really shaitan making me do all these sins, or is it my nafs, is it my desire, my internal desire? We humbled ourselves in this month. We kept ourselves humble. We spoke to people with respect. We didn't abuse anyone. We didn't speak loud or harsh. Okay? We didn't have the energy to do so. We didn't argue with anyone. We didn't have road rage when we were stuck in traffic or anything that happens. We didn't burst out. We didn't speak with anger. We kept patient. Even if someone done us wrong, even if someone shortchanged us, we kept patient in this blessed month. We gave a lot of charity. In this month of Ramadan, we gave a lot of charity. We helped the poor people. We helped the orphans. We helped the FGRF of Dawat Islami, the department which helps unfortunate brothers and sisters around the world. We gave a lot of donations and charities to various different causes of Da'wah Islam. In this month, we stopped watching TV and dramas. We didn't entertain ourselves with different sources of media, whether the social media or the live TV screen. We focused upon ourselves. We removed all sort of fitnas, all sorts of tribulations from our lifestyle, and we focused upon, it was just me and myself and my nafs. We focused upon ourselves in this month. We removed all types of distractions. Hence, we stopped playing games as well in this month. We stopped playing games, whether that's physical games, okay, because we didn't have the energy. We couldn't play football, okay, we couldn't play badminton. We didn't have that energy to do so. We stopped any sort of distractions, any sort of negligence. And then we also stopped playing the mental games, i.e. on the phone or on the game console. We removed this from our lifestyle for the entire month. We stayed away from sins. We stayed away from multiple types of sins. From the top to the bottom, any sins we had that we would, ma'azallah, perform outside of Ramadan, inside Ramadan, we've left these sins behind. You spent a lot more time with your family. You were more welcoming. You were holding dawahs. You were holding iftars with your family. So you got closer with your family as well. So you realized that taking shaitan out of the equation, it improved our lifestyle. We stayed, we became more God conscious. We were conscious at all times that, okay, I cannot do that, I am fasting. I cannot do that, I am fasting. And if someone was to argue, like the Prophet ﷺ says, that if someone begins to argue, tell them, I am fasting, I am fasting. So we were always conscious of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, is knowing our actions. So we became more God conscious in this month. We read all our salah. We read all our salah in this month. We carried out all our nawafils and our sunan. We fulfilled all our huquq Allah as much as we could in this month. Hence, we also paid our zakat as well. We also gave our charity towards Islamic causes, whether that's to the poor person, or if it was to help someone get out of their misery, we help people in this month. We read all our taraweeh, the extra 20 rak'ats that was stipulated by Sharia. We stayed awake after Isha, where normally we would fall asleep, and we performed the extra 20 rak'ats in the masjid where we listened to the entire Quran. We listened to the entire Quran in this month. You made sincere dua at the time of the Hajj to your Creator, to your Sustainer, to your Lord. Many brothers have just come out of i'tikaf. They performed i'tikaf in this entire, the last 10 days, the last ashara, the ashara of itqum minan nar. Many brothers around the world, they performed the full 30 days of i'tikaf. Many brothers, they fasted from Rajab, Sha'ban, and then the entire Ramadan. Approximately 90 days of fasting. Approximately 90 days of fasting they went through. They reaped the real rewards of Ramadan. And brothers that sat in i'tikaf, they were all seeking the Laylatul Qadr, the night which was better than 1,000 months or more. And those brothers who stayed in i'tikaf, they spent that entire time on the 21st, 23rd, 25th, on the 27th and 29th. These nights, they spent looking for Laylatul Qadr. Most importantly, all of these good deeds that we accumulated, all of these practices that we done, these worships that we increased, the charity that we increased, this is all due to Ramadan. And Shahru Ramadan, Alladhi Unzila Fihi Al-Qur'an. That the reason why the month of Ramadan was so blessing, it had so much blessings within it, was due to the Qur'an being revealed in this month. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in honor of this month, He commanded us to fast. The entire month. He commanded us to fast the entire month because the Qur'an was revealed from the Lawh-e Mahfuz up to the first guy in this specific Laylatul Qadr. So hence our focus should have been the Qur'an. And now, coming out of this month, right, the blessed day of Eid, where brothers get together and the families get together, they eat together. But there should be something that we should focus upon. Because all this worship that we have done, the point of all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking away shaitan, Allah making things easier for you in this world. And because everyone was involved in these activities, taraweeh, reading the Quran, performing charity, going to the masjid, because everyone was indulged in these actions, that's what pushed you to do that as well. So now, coming out of this month, as clever person, as an intelligent person, should we go back to the same way we were before Ramadan started? Or should we actually continue the way we were the entire month? Should we go back to the way we were before Ramadan? Okay, where we were not reading 20 rakats extra, where we were not reading salah, where we were maybe not getting up for tahajjud, where we were not reading as much Quran. Allah gave us the chance, the opportunity to spend this month in worship, and on the day of Eid, this will stop happening, but now it's up to you whether you continue this and make yourself better. The awliya, the saints of Islam, have mentioned a successful Ramadan upon a person is that Ramadan upon which, when the person comes out of, he is a changed person. He is a brand new person. He is not like the same person he was in Rajab or Sha'ban. And he post Ramadan upon the day of Eid, now he's a changed man. Now, the saints have mentioned that this person, if he is still reading his salah, if he is still connected with the Quran, if he is still respectful, if he is still patient, if he is still doing charity, if he is still giving sadaqah, and he is nice to everyone, now this is a successful Ramadan. A companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, give me such a piece of advice that no one in the entire universe can give me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that, say, and this was the advice that no one else can give him in the entire world. Right? He said, say that I believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, and then stay steadfast upon this. Stay steadfast. Now, if you look into the meanings of istiqama, being steadfast in a certain thing, the scholars have given the meaning that istiqama means to continuously obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to continuously stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the best advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or this man, the best advice for him was to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then be steadfast upon this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the person who actually says, Amantu billah, that Allah speaks about this person in the Quran. He says that whoever says Amantu billah and then thumma istaqamu, and then he is steadfast upon this, he is firm upon believing this and then fulfilling the rites of this, it's no good just saying I believe in Allah. You have to show it as well. You have to show it. You have to be obedient as well. And you have to stay away from his disobedience. Yeah. So Allah says regarding this person who has istiqama, tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika, angels descend upon him. Because in his life he spent believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he was steadfast upon this. He was steadfast upon this. During his entire life, he was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he stayed away from all the sins possible. At the time of death, tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika, angels descend upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends masses of angels towards him to aid him. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu, that so that he does not fear or grieve anything in the hereafter. He was steadfast in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him at the time of death with so many angels looking after him, so that he doesn't fear, so that he doesn't grieve anything, he doesn't regret anything. And then he is given the glad tidings of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses that person who has istiqamah. So now coming out of Ramadan, this is the test. Are you going to go back the way you was prior to Ramadan, or will you continue being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And now 30 days, right? Even in psychology, if you look into this, a person does something for 27 days, he becomes habitual. Now that becomes his habit now. Okay, depending on how big the act is, some things you do for 3 days, you become habitual. Some things you do for 10 days, you're habitual. But an entire 30 days, you have continuously done one thing like fasted, and you've increased your qiyam at the time of night, your salatul taraweeh. Okay, you perform tahajjud for 30 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Eid, he puts shaitan back into the equation. This is your test. Will I go back to how I was prior to Ramadan? And that's what shaitan wants you to do. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ. He is your clear enemy. He is your clear enemy. Or will you continue to carry out these actions that you've done in Ramadan? Will you continue to give charity, etc., etc., etc.? This month was about the Quran. This month was about how we should honor the month that the Quran was received into the Prophet ﷺ in the night of Laylatul Qadr. Allah ordained us to fast the entire month. If a person who reads the Quran, okay, we read the Quran for the entire month, okay, many of us may have memorized extra portions of the Quran, may have studied extra parts of the Quran, many of us may have finished the Quran multiple times in this blessed month. There is a certain virtue of reciting the Quran. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti in Sharh al-Sudur, he writes down a narration which is such a beautiful narration for those people who love reading the Quran. A person who has this true love for the Quran, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he narrates a hadith from the Prophet. He says, a person who reads the Quran at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a noor on top of his house. Okay, so on top of the believer who recites the Quran, Allah puts a noor on top of his house. And the creatures of the skies, so the malaika, the angels, and the birds, they navigate through the skies by the virtue of this noor. So they realize that they know where they are going by the noor on top of the house of a believer who reads the Quran. Now when that person who recites the Quran, every time an angel would go past, the angel would perform dua for him, that this person is a true lover of the Quran. Oh Allah Azza wa Jalla, forgive his sins, increase his life, because the longer he lives, the longer this noor would stay there and benefit us. Now when this person passes away, that light is extinguished, that noor finishes on top of his house. When that noor finishes, the angels realize that this person's passed away, and they supplicate for him. They make dua, Ya Allah, Subhanallah, forgive all his sins. Now, this person, meanwhile, remember when your soul is taken out, various things happen. But this specific hadith, it tells us that now his family members get ready for his funeral. And now, whilst they are giving him his ghusl, the ghusl-e mayyit, after they've shrouded him in his three layers of shroud for the man and five for the woman, a nurani creature comes and sits next to him whilst he is in his shroud, comes and sits right next to him and just looks at this dead person. This dead person doesn't realize who this nurani creature is. Now at the janazah, salat al-janaza, this dead person, the mayyid, he sees again this nurani creature. And this nurani creature just smiles. This dead person doesn't realize who this mysterious person is, who this strange person is, this nurani person who keeps looking at me. And in the graveyard, when this mayyit is taken towards the graveyard, he sees, remember, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ, angels descend upon him. He sees thousands, rows of angels at the cemetery, at the graveyard. Rows of angels. Once he is buried and his family walk away, the last person walks away after performing their rituals and duties, the angels of Munkar and Nakir, the angels that ask you questions, they rip into your grave. Scary creatures. Once they rip into the grave, they try to make you sit up. Okay? So you could answer these three questions. مَا رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي حَقِّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. And now, this person who would recite the Quran and had passed away, and once he's buried, when Munkar and Nakir enter his grave, this mysterious man, this Nurani creature who he observed at the time of ghusl, who he observed in the janaza, who he observed whilst he was getting lowered into the grave, now this mysterious man comes into his grave as well. And he stands in between the mayyit and Munkar and Nakir. And he says to Munkar and Nakir, do not proceed forward. If you have any questions, stay there and ask him from there. And they say that we have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Nurani creature says that I have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So Munkar and Nakir think, okay, if he's been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a special person. Okay, our job is done here. They close their books and they leave. Now, this Nurani creature turns around to the dead person in the grave, in his first night of the grave, the most scariest night ever in our existence. And he says to the dead person, do you know who I am? And the dead person, he doesn't know, he's confused. He says, I kept you awake in days. I made you thirsty. I made you smile. I made you cry. I made you happy. I gave you guidance. You kept me close to you in the dunya. I am the Quran that you used to read day and night. I am the Quran that used to make you cry and smile. I am the Quran that gave you guidance and stopped you from falling into misguidance. I am your Quran. You made me your friend in the dunya. Now I am your friend in the hereafter. This is the reward of that person who has fallen in love with the Quran. Allah blesses that person. Now the Quran says to this dead person, this hadith is very long. The Quran says to the dead person, that stay here. And he leaves Surah Mulk behind in his grave. And he says to him that I am going to go to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I am going to ask him for a few things. Number one, he leaves Surah Mulk behind and he goes to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Nurani creature. And he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, make his grave so big that the eyes cannot see the end. And as far as the eyesight can see. And number two, forgive all his sins. Forgive all his sins. Now on the way back from Jannah, from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Jannah, from the fifth sky, he takes with him 4,000 angels. And he also tells them angels to bring many heavenly treasures, blankets from Jannah to the earth, and they decorate his grave, they make his grave look beautiful, they put a heavenly blanket across his grave, they fashion his grave with lanterns, make it look beautiful, these 4,000 angels from the fifth sky. This is the person who fell in love with the Quran, who had that passion of reading the Quran. Allah blesses him in such a way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has blessed the Muslims in this month of Ramadan with increasing their pious actions. This was just the blessing of the Quran, blessings of fasting, blessings of reading tahajjud and reading extra salatul layl at night time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put blessings behind all these actions. As a Muslim, we should focus upon ourselves, our worship, our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember coming out of Ramadan on the blessed day of Eid, we should not let all our good deeds go to waste. We should come out of Ramadan with a new mindset, a new energy, a new passion, and then now up until next Ramadan, we should maintain what we carried out in this past blessed month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows many years of Ramadan to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows Ramadan in Madinatul Munawwara. Ameen bijahin nabijil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
That's a gift from Rabbul Alameen for the fasting.